Good evening, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Good evening. Brother Ronnie doesn't want me to touch this mic, but being that I'm so tall. But I count it a great privilege to to share the Word of God. I'm really passionate about it, so it's hard for me not to show that passion. But I do believe that if we're going to preach the Word of God, we should be passionate about it.
Amen.
You know, it's a great privilege to be up here behind this pulpit and to share a message with you today. And although it's part of, as Pastor mentioned, part of my class or part of the class that I'm taking. It's still something that I take very seriously. And, you know, the Bible tells us there in John chapter 3, verse 36. You don't have to turn there. That's not our text. But it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And that's a serious thing. And so, with that, we are going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And the message is, follow me. I'm sorry that I don't know how to do PowerPoint, so we're not going to have that tonight. So you just have to follow as we go. But our text is going to be in Matthew, chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 24 through 25 is going to be our main text. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I do pray, Heavenly Father, that you give me the words. I pray that you give me a clarity to speak. I pray that you give me boldness. I pray, Lord, that every word that comes out of my mouth is honoring to you. And more than anything, Lord, that it's truth. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with all those that are here in attendance tonight, Lord. And I pray that you speak to their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you deal with hearts tonight. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they not leave this building that way. I pray that they'll come to know him, and I pray that you save them. I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, I will be talking about the Christian life. I believe that every Christian should be a follower of Jesus Christ and that we should do it with all of our heart. I believe that it's also something that has to be born in you by God. When I read the Word of God and I look at Christianity today, they're two different things. I see many that profess to be Christians live more like the world and they're less like Christ. It's hard for me to say that, but it's true. We live in a nation that has defined or that has given that has changed the identity of what a Christian is. See, the Bible tells us very clearly what a Christian is supposed to be. We just had missions conference, and that's a big part of what a Christian is supposed to be. We are to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, of the world. And we're all supposed to take part of that. I think it's our duty. I think the Bible teaches us that. It's who we are as God's people, and it's our purpose. And it's a vision that is being lost. And as Pastor, as the mission conference was to get that vision. But although things are changing in our nation, God is still the same. God's view on what a Christian ought to be and do is still the same. The Bible tells us that we have been commanded to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world, and that we are to teach others to do the same. That is the mission of the local church. And when I look at things around, it seems like it's an impossible task. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, God said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." He said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" I believe the word of God is truth. Amen. I take it as absolute truth, and I live my life like that. I asked my wife today, "Do you think I take my Christianity seriously?" And she said, "Yeah, you take it seriously." Amen. That's good. I think we all should.
Yes, sir.
And again, I think it's something that is born in you, in us, through God. We are called to be followers of Jesus Christ. I do believe that our text gives us a good illustration of the Christian life. But before we get started on the text, I really want to give you just give you some information or some things that have occurred before we got to this place. Now, Jesus Christ is with his disciples in the coast of Philippi, Caesarea Philippi, and he asked them a question. "Whom do men say that I am?" And of course, they answered him with the wrong answer, because he's not Elijah. He's not Jeremiah. He's not a prophet. And then he asked the question, directing it to the disciples. And I think it's something that we have to answer. Each of us individually, as we heard Brother David speak of those that he knew that just didn't take Christ personal. It's something that we have to answer individually. And he says to his disciples, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus told him why he came, that he came to build his church. And in verse 21 is really what I want to spend a little bit of time on. Verse 21 and going down to our text. says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Why he came to this earth. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be that propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation is a covering, in a sense, an atonement. But it has a deeper meaning than that. It has a greater meaning than that. It's closer to that he came to wipe away. It has the idea of washing, wiping away, or doing away with, as if it never happened. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. That's the gospel. And that's the power of the gospel in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 25, if you want to turn there. For those of you that are following. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. It says there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set for to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. When I read that verse, what really stood out to me was it says there at the end, it says that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Did you get that? See, God is just. And for God to justify a sinner, a price had to be paid. A life had to be lost. And Jesus Christ, that perfect Lamb of God, paid that price for us. As far as our sins are from the east to the west. As if they never happened. That propitiation. But I want you to see Peter's response here. And Peter says, in verse 22, it says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter wasn't too happy, it seems, with what the Lord had revealed to him. He didn't want to accept this. And it could be that Peter, being a Jew, believed that the Messiah had come to establish Israel back to where it was. As a Jew, and as Jews still do believe today, that the Christ has not come, because when he comes, he's going to establish Israel. It could be, or it could be that Peter grew to love the Lord and he didn't want him to die. Either way, Peter was unhappy. But Peter didn't understand. The point that I'm trying to make, church, is that Jesus Christ had to die. He had to die. That's what he came for. And this brings us to our text. Now I want you to notice that Peter rebuked the Lord because he didn't want, because of what the Lord said, that he came to die and that he was going to be risen on the third day. But look what Jesus, after Jesus, after verse 23, look what he says in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I believe our text gives us three necessities that must take place in a Christian's life if we're going to follow Jesus Christ. Number one, if we are going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we have to deny ourselves. One of the things that I mentioned earlier was, I see a lot of Christians getting caught up in the things of the world. And that's one of the things that we have to deny ourselves of, our worldly lust. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and I know you've heard this verse before. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I was talking to a brother about this, and we as a people have come to grab a hold of this American dream, if you want to call it. We get our young people and we chase the American dream, and we want our kids to finish high school, and we want them to go to college, and we want them to be successful, to have a big house, a beautiful car. That's not God's plan. Church, that's not the plan of God. As a Christian, as a father, as a Christian, we're supposed to raise future Christians.
Amen. Yeah.
That is our duty.
Yes.
My son asked me, I was speaking to my son, and he usually doesn't like me to talk about him, but I'm going to do it anyway. He's the only example I have. But he asked me, I said, son, I know you like to play football, and I know you like all these things. I said, son, but you're not going to impress me because you make a touchdown. You're not going to impress me if you get a big house and you have all the money in the world. I don't want that for you. I said, son, I want you to give your heart to God. That's what I want for you.
Yes, sir.
I want that for you. I want that for all of you. For Nathan, Natalie, Nikki. Give your heart to God. And let God do with you as He will. That should be the desire of every Christian parent for his child, I believe. Another thing that we ought to give up is ungodly living. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, if you want to go there. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Let me get there. It says there, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. because of the grace of God in our lives, because God is good. Amen? Because of that grace, it should bring us to not want to be ungodly, to not be worldly. I think those things are important for a Christian. Those are attributes of one that has really truly been regenerated. To live godly in this present world. To live righteously. I want to say this to you, church. We cannot live like the world and honor God.
That's right.
We cannot. The two don't go together. It's hard, but it's truth. It's hard, but it's truth. And the only thing that matters that I say here today is what I'm saying. Is it the truth? Because if it isn't the truth, then it doesn't matter. Number two, if we are going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we have to take up our cross. Today, the cross for us is a sign of victory. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we're victorious because of what he did. So it's a sign of victory. But it wasn't always that way. There was a time that the cross resembled shame. The cross at a time was a form of punishment for those who were sentenced to death. It was regarded as one of the most horrible ways to die.
Yes, sir.
And those that were sentenced to death, the condemned, they had to carry their cross to the place of where they were going to be executed, to that final destination. And so those that put that cross on their back or however they carried it, because I assume they were pretty heavy, had to either drag it or put it on their back. But when they took that cross on their back, and others would see, they knew that this person was under government authority, under Roman government authority, and that they had lost all their rights, that their final destination was to die. See? They lost all their rights. They were condemned. Do you get the picture? And so Jesus is giving this to us as an illustration. Not like the Catholics that really go put the cross on them, they walk 10,000 miles or whatever it is that they do. No, it's an illustration. But it doesn't take away from the meaning. See, this illustration, I believe, is one of the greatest illustrations in the Word of God about the Christian life. And I believe that Christ gives us this illustration because he wants us to understand that when we give our lives to him, he is Lord of our life.
Yes, sir.
When we give our life to him, We no longer have the right to live how we want. You see, we've lost all our rights. He is Lord. He is King. And the Word of God becomes our authority in our life, and we are to live by it.
Amen?
Amen? This is what it means to be Christian. This is what it means to be Christian. To have full, for God to have full authority, for Jesus to be Lord of your life. To have full authority over your life. To be fully surrendered. Lord, not my will, Lord, but yours. Your will be done, Lord. Christian. I guess the question would be then why, right? Why? Why do we have to do that? Well, if you're a Christian, the Bible says we've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, if you want to go there, if you're following. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye have been, are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We've been bought with a price. He's delivered us from the wrath of God, as I mentioned earlier. We've been delivered if we're saved, if we're His. And if we're His, we've been bought and paid for to live for Him, to do His will. And point number three is, after we have picked up our cross, then we can follow Him. After we've denied ourselves and picked up our cross, then we can follow Him. I know that Jesus Christ set the example for us. He set the greatest example. Not only did He set the example, but He went before everybody else. That's what leaders do. They go before everybody else. And He did. See, He's not asking us to do something that He didn't do first. See, He did it Himself. And I want to ask you, are we greater than Him? Church, are we greater than Him? Philippians chapter 2, if you want to go there. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." God became a man. He became a servant. He humbled himself. He died. Doesn't that do something to you when you hear somebody say that Jesus died? The Son of God, God in the flesh, the creator of all things, died? He died for you and he died for me. And I want to ask you again, are we greater than him? Although it's an illustration that he gives us, there are men that really gave up their life. Peter, Paul. And still doing it today. All those that have been martyred. I mean, you guys know. What was in them that they would give their life up? It's a serious thing to give up your life. It's a serious thing. What is it that you'll give up your life? If we, as God's people, as God's church, as the local church in this community, if we are going to reach this community, if we're going to have revival, if the direction of this nation is going to change, we have to be willing to die to self. We have to be willing to say, God, whatever you want. And not just say it. Not just say it. But live it. Listen, it's a hard thing for me. You know, as a Christian, especially today. You look around and you say, is this a Christian? Is this what a Christian is supposed to be? What does a Christian look like? Paul said, I die daily. For to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Said, the world is crucified to me and I am to the world. This is a serious thing. And verse 25 says, for whosoever, let me go there because I got to read it off of here. Well, I want to read it off of here. But it says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. This same event, is recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 35, if you want to go there. And it's just, I believe that it helps us to see what our Lord is saying here. It says, for whosoever will save his life, verse 35, chapter 8, Mark. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. God has a plan for our life, Christian. God has a plan for your life. See, What Jesus did on the cross is never going to be repeated. This life that we live now, we're not going to get it back. Jesus came to save souls. Christian, this is our vision. This is the vision. Souls. God's not playing. You think God became a man? And he came to this earth and he died? And in this book, his word, all the blood that's been shed for this book, do you think God's playing? Don't judge your Christianity by what you see in the world today. Don't do that. Go to the Word.
Amen.
You got to go to the Word. I don't care what you say Christianity is. If it doesn't match up to the Word of God, then that's not Christianity. That's something that you invented. You need to go to the Word. The Great Commission. That's what we're about. Every Christian should be in the soul winning business. Every one of us, because that's what Jesus came for. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. Listen to me. It is powerful. It'll change you. If you believe it, it'll change you.
Yes, it will.
It's real. It's a real thing. When you believe in Jesus Christ, when you truly believe in Jesus Christ, you will truly be born again.
Amen.
It's a real thing. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a real thing.
Yes, sir.
I'm a witness to that. That's a real thing. I want to share this poem with you. Not the whole thing, but the whole thing is good. It's called Only One Life by C.T. Studd, and maybe some of you have heard it before. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the two last verses. It says, Only let my love with favor burn, and from the world now let me turn. Living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's true. I want to ask you, is this you? Is this really you? I know for some of you, it might not be a real thing, but for some of you it is. And I want to ask you, is this you? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you truly a follower of Jesus Christ? Because if there's some things that you need to work on, I'm there with you. But it costs.
Yes, it does.
Listen, I've met people that have told me that they don't want to be a Christian. Lost. These are people that are lost. They don't want to be Christian because they're not ready to give up everything that they have. They don't want to give up their life. See, this is about your life. It's about your life. To deny yourself, to take up your cross and to follow Him. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's the Christian life. Listen, if you are here today and if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's first. You have to know Him. He has to be Lord of your life. And I want to tell you that He wants all of you. He wants everything that you are. He wants every bit of you. So that you can become everything that He wants you to become. So that you can glorify Him. So that you can honor Him with your life. I'm going to read verse 26. I don't really have it on here, but I feel like the Lord wants me to read that out for you. It says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The whole world, church. You're not ever going to gain the whole world. And what would it profit you if you did? The ransom has already been paid for us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. God has already made His peace with man, and that's in His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. If you are here today, usually we don't do our altar call on Wednesday night. But if you are here today and if God spoke to your heart, if God truly spoke to your heart tonight, don't worry about what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you answer Him. And if you need to get right with God, you answer Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a mighty God. And there's none like you. And Lord, I just pray that you speak to our heart, that you spoke to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you dealt with our hearts tonight, Lord, that we can get that vision. That we can grasp it, Lord, and that we can be surrendered and that we deny ourselves, Lord, that we take up our cross and that we follow after you. That you truly become Lord of our life. That we set aside all these things that we're so fascinated by, Lord, that we set them aside. And that we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. That we look to you, Lord. That in everything you be glorified. And I pray that you can continue to use this church, Lord, that you can continue to lead our pastor as he leads your church. I pray that you give him wisdom. And I pray, Lord, for your people. I pray that we can be lights. And I pray for our nation. I pray for our community. Lord, that you be magnified, that you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother John, why don't you come with us for a song this evening? We don't very often give an invitation on Wednesday night, but we certainly want to stand together and sing. And these altars are open this evening. They're always open. It doesn't matter whether it's invitation time or whenever. God's speaking to your heart. We want you to do business with God. And so, as we would sing this evening, we just want to pray that God would be pleased to settle these things in our heart. What can be more important than to identify with Christ? And the way we identify with Him most is when we're most like Him. And we're most like Him when we're willing to take up His cross and follow Him. Which His cross becomes our cross. And we follow Him. Let's sing.
Page 167.
Amen.
Just as my
of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good. Marcia and I had kind of a long day driving back from Houston today. But it's good to be back and with our church family this evening. Couldn't imagine being anyplace else. Amen. Right. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your mercies to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that hope that is ours in Him. Thank you, Father, for the great honor and privilege it is to call ourselves Christians. Be known by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be His disciples, His followers. And the challenge to us this evening to take up our cross and follow Him. Identify with Christ. To be those witnesses unto Him. And Father, I pray for each and every heart in this room tonight. Pray that the challenge of the Word of God would be fresh and real. Going from this church house this evening as the people of God, the church of God, into this world. Oh, Father, to bear that name for His glory and for the sake and need of a lost generation. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.